3, 2, 1.
Here we go! Welcome to the No Normal Show, brought to you by BPD. This is where we leave all things status quo, traditional, old school, and boring in the dust. And instead, we celebrate the new, the powerful, the innovative, the future, all related to how brands can lead the way in health. Hello, I'm your co-host, Stephanie Weirwill, EVP of Engagement here at BPD, and I'm joined by Chris Wickline, SVP of Strategy here at BPD. Hello, hello, Chris.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you today?
Oh, I'm so good. I'm really excited for this this discussion. I think we're both really passionate about this topic. We're actually sharing a bit of a case study today.
Yes, and it is an exciting one, kind of, you know, the one of the most storied brands, not only in our world, but also in our profession.
Oh, yes. Well, that's a good teaser. So we're coming to you all in a newsflash episode where we take one headline or hot topic that we've seen news feeds buzzing about and we dig into it. So this is Tuesday, August 13th. And for the last oh gosh, Chris, what'd you say? Month, 2 months, maybe 3 months even. This has really started to bubble up.
Yes. I mean, lots of threads have been coming out kind of again. Oh my God, the whole the boiling frog thing, right? Kind of, you know, indications, things are not all well in, should I say it? Nike land?
Yes, Nike land.
Yes. So it's been a slow drip of bad news that's culminating in a big drops of lots of news. How's that?
Right. So, okay, here's the situation. So as you noted, Chris, Nike has been starting to struggle for, a year plus now. And the reason why we wanted to dig into this is because from a healthcare marketing standpoint, we have used Nike. I think every industry has used Nike as the case study for brand marketing for so long, right? Back in 1987, actually, the Just Do It brand platform came out for the first time.
And
1987.
Oh my God, that's amazing, right? Talk about longevity.
Seriously. And Nike has just been the gold standard. And here we are, and it's maybe not the gold standard anymore. So let's talk about why. Okay, I'm going to give a little bit of the background and then we'll dig into it. So Nike has been, of course, really focused on brand marketing for over 2-3 decades. Then in January 2020, they had a new CEO. So the new CEO came in and said, okay, we have a new plan. Nike's going to eliminate categories from the organization where they had had various categories like brand and product, et cetera. And actually, I worked on them in the past, and their categories were things like Nike Women's, and they had various sports, and they were organized by sports, right? Running and these different categories as well. Secondly, Nike will become a direct-to-consumer company. So I think the CEO was looking out on the DTC landscape and saying, hey, we could be the Casper, you know, we could be the Peloton, we should be direct-to-consumer, and we can save, you know, some money doing that. And therefore, we'll eliminate our brand focus, change our marketing model, centralize it, and make it data-driven and digitally led. So all of this sounded good in 2020, right? Great. Sounds really efficient. Here's what happened. So revenue kept climbing for a little while, and then the revenue actually had its first real meaningful dip after the pandemic in 2024. So if you look at earnings reports from 23 and 24, revenue dipped and digital sales specifically were soft and had its first digital decline in 9 years as of the March earnings report of this year. And then in the June's earning call of this year, Nike noted that revenue would be down in the mid-single digits for FY 2025, including down 10% in the first quarter. So seeing some real serious dips. And of course, we've all probably seen and heard about the stock tanking. It hit a high of $177 in November 21 and then tanked ever since down to $78 today. So complete dive. So why? Well, we'll get into that. But one of the issues is they saw fierce competition from OnCloud, from Hoka's to Brooks to Nobles and even Adidas that had a big rebrand called You Got This. So what are they going to do about it? We'll get into that in a second. But Chris, is there anything else you want to add around just the fierce challenges they're facing.
Yes, cue the class action lawsuits. So CEO John Donahue and Chief Financial Officer Matt Friend. I guess they're going to be friends in a lawsuit, no pun intended. And basically what's happening is investors are claiming that they were not forthcoming about how the direct-to-consumer strategy was not able to generate sustainable revenue growth, how, you know, they purported a massive competitive advantage, particularly around brand, that the company was unable to protect. A key thing, by the way, too, I don't think you mentioned it, was disengagement from wholesalers, right? So cutting off a lot of the wholesale relationships that, again, some of these other competitors filled the void in. And then just misrepresentations that were just materially false. So now they're going to be facing that. So think about the value drain, not only, from the business in general, but also from this activity that's forthcoming.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, they're getting on all fronts. So right. The revenue dips, the competition, the lawsuit. So they have said we're going to make a change, and I think the change is really interesting. So in the March 2024 earnings report, which reported out on FY24 Q3, they said Nike is not performing at our potential. We need to make some important adjustments, and here's what we're going to do. Number one, we're going to sharpen our focus on sport, i.e., go back to the focus on sport. Number two, drive continuous flow of new product innovation. Subtext here is because they're getting killed by the Hokas and the OnClouds of the world. And number three, which is the one we'll focus on today, is brand marketing must become bolder and more distinctive. Brand storytelling will leverage athletes and sport moments to become sharper and bolder, beginning with the Olympics this summer. Mm-hmm. So what's wild about this is in 2020, they said, we don't need brand anymore. We're going to do direct to consumer. We're going to do digital. We're going to do, data driven. We're going to just drive product marketing. 4 years later, oops, we do need brand. Mm-hmm. We're going to go back to our focus on brand. So, So that's the overall case. So Chris, give us your perspective here.
Okay. Let me start by saying I have a lot of feels about this because I'm sure I've shared this on this program before. And of course it will date me, but I own this. I grew up in classical direct response marketing. And when I say classical direct response marketing, it was before the web became anything on which you could execute any kind of commerce activity. This means good old fashioned direct mail marketing, which still works. I'm going to get my plug in for that. But, you can drink the Kool-Aid, right? You can drink the Kool-Aid. And for many years I did, because one of the things I love about the medium, it's measurable. You get to see, you understand kind of what you're doing, the impact that you made. I think my complaint is a lot of times you just don't understand the why, right? You get so focused on the left brain, you forget about the right brain. So just in general, personally, I have a lot of feels about this because over my career, I became a believer in the idea that, oh my God, and I will also say a life lesson for Chris Wickline is just balance is everything, right? And I think it's no different in marketing. It goes back to the idea that you can't have a steady diet. And I think it's easy to drink the Kool-Aid. It's well-intentioned. We can measure it. Therefore, why not do more of it? It was also, Stephanie, supported by the pandemic. 2020 was happening. The world was shutting down. Major markets for Nike were shutting down. But there was definitely a bandwagon mantra. And again, the problem was it just became the focus, right? And that gets us to kind of just the whole idea between the long and the short of it and the need to do both things. So I'll stop there. And I'd love to hear your thoughts too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think this is a classic story of anytime the pendulum swings too far to one side or the other of, okay, we have this brand new ability to, in this case, focus solely on data-driven digital marketing, which to your point is wonderful and awesome and we love it, but you can't forget about the other things too. So anytime you think there's one thing that's going to save it all, that's probably a little too myopic. So you mentioned the long and the short of it. Why don't you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah. So the long and the short of it is actually a seminal paper that was created back in 2013 by Les Bennett and Peter Field. It was published by the IPA, the Institute of Practitioners in Advertising. It is right up there with a Bible of marketing. And I became acquainted with it a number of years ago. And essentially what this did is it analyzed 996 cases that were submitted to the IPA over 30 years. It included 700 brands in 83 different categories. And it identified the ingredients of effectiveness over both long and short term. And it measured them in terms of hard business business results, which means sales, right? And there's so much in that paper. If you're not familiar with it, again, it's kind of just a classical piece, and it's informed not only a lot of my thinking, I think, but you know, a lot of the way you know we counsel our clients collectively. I mean, it's a seminal piece. The paper posits that you need both. Sales activation is about short-term sales uplifts. Brand building is about long-term sales growth, right? You know, the way we equate this to health systems is the age-old service line versus brand building, mindset for marketing. Again, you know, and it's something that we commonly hear the struggle with in marketing. So I'll stop there. And again, I know you have a lot of feels for this thinking as well, Stephanie.
Yeah. So I think it just goes back, what the long and the short of it calls out is that you need both. You need brand marketing. You need big, bold, beautiful storytelling that is often mass media, that drives attention, that catches attention, that resonates with a specific kind of audience, all the great things that brand can do. And you also need performance marketing, right? You need that data-driven, ongoing drumbeat of product marketing for healthcare, and especially providers, that is often service line marketing. Or if you're, you know, B2B, that is, you know, your product marketing. So I think that's just so key. And it really helps at the highest level when setting budgets, you know, whatever your overall marketing budget is, to say how much are we going to add, align to brand versus performance. I've seen stats like 60 to brand, 40% to performance, something along that line. Mm-hmm. But there has to be a mix. And you cannot let up the brand storytelling piece, even though it feels good, because, okay, my performance marketing is driving ROI. If it's not, that there's a problem, but it should be driving ROI. And so, you know, I can understand wanting to say, hey, if my performance marketing is driving a 5-to-1, 3-to-1, whatever it is, ROI, let me just put more into that, because my brand marketing is not driving a direct ROI that I can see. Mm-hmm. So I imagine this is what the Nikes of the world, and P&G made the same mistake as well in the past, of saying we're just going to put it all into performance. Well, that might be okay for 6 months, but what happens 4 years later?
Right.
Exactly. You don't want that to be your legacy as a CEO or CMO. That is not a legacy you want to have.
And I think it just, again, goes back to there's a logical component of it, right? I mean, again, you know, it's well-intentioned. Our leaders in health systems are very well-intentioned when they're saying, hey, do more of that. The reality is there's only so much of that out there. You know what I mean? And again, if you think about it from a funnel point of view, my perspective is, a lot of times, you know, when we're talking about service line marketing, start bottom of funnel and move up. The problem is, a lot of times we just stop at bottom of funnel and maybe a little bit mid funnel. And we say, oh, we'll get to that stuff later, right? But again, you know, the people who are seeing service line marketing, by and large, are the people who, let's use Nike's example on why they're going back to sport. Why? Because I'm already thinking about it. It's a place where I'm paying attention. With the way consumers are bombarded with advertising, they're not paying attention to extraneous things, right? So, I mean, again, I would argue that's the role of brand building. How do you build a connection at a bigger level rather than the individual services that an individual consumer may never need?
Well, that's also a great point in terms of it sets us up on what they're doing now and why, right?
Yeah.
So if we go back to the, you know, where Nike really became successful was focusing on sport and creating this beautiful aspirational vision for folks, for a specific kind of person, of who they could be. And so leveraging the Michael Jordans, you know, none of us are going to be Michael Jordan, but we sure want to be. And it gave us this identity that we could build towards. And then I think that with this change, they let themselves get watered down. Mm-hmm. And they just lost that focus. So now with the Olympics, of course, this commercial and this campaign has been very controversial. It's called Winning Isn't for Everyone. And the idea is, am I a bad person if I am an athlete, an Olympian, and I'm out here trying to beat everyone else? Does that make me a bad person? So it's been very controversial. We don't need to get into all the details on that. But I think the point is they're using it to go bold again.
Yeah.
They are intentionally controversial, and you have to pick a side when you're building brand. You can't be everything to everyone. You've got to figure out who does your audience want to be.
Absolutely. I mean, that is the essence of, creating an emotional connection. How do we create some kind of connection and engage people at an emotional level? And that's what they've been so brilliant at doing over this, over my lifetime. And, I will say too, I dislike the fact that in this world, there's winners and losers in the sense that, Nike has been everything that we've all looked up to as marketers. And then when they falter, everybody's sitting on the side, saying, excited about the fail, right? I am not there. And we also have to keep in mind, this is still one of the most recognized brands across the world. There's a lot they have the opportunity to build on. I am rooting for Nike. I am rooting for the fact that this is, a kind of a turnaround case study, for the ages. So all is not lost. Get back to what you know and get back to your roots, friends.
I agree. And of course, it's easy for me to sit here and say their earnings are not that bad. If you're the CEO or the CFO, it's going to feel terrible. But looking at them, I mean, they're being proactive, I think, right? They're seeing some declines and they're being proactive. And they're also trying to make sure that they have a great story for investors to feel confident again. But I think it's going to be a wonderful turnaround. And they're still Nike, and they're going to be able to tell big, bold stories that are going to attract people. So,
and they're going to win. So I will place my side on that bet of their advertising campaign. Nike will win.
There you go.
There's nothing wrong with being a winner.
All right. So I think we'll wrap it here, but just for healthcare marketers, for those listening, I think the key takeaway is don't let up the gas pedal on brand or performance marketing. You need both. They're both very important, and don't be afraid to go bold, because the second you start watering things down is the second when your brand doesn't work as hard. So,
and can I just add one more thing?
Yes.
I made the comment before that, it takes courage to challenge sometimes the dominant narrative. And again, we're being pushed significantly by our organizations into kind of that same approach. And look, it takes time. But don't forget how to educate, how to inspire, and try and bring our organizations along. Communicate the value of brand, measure the value of brand. Don't stop fighting for the value of brand.
Absolutely. Yeah. And be proactive. I think, again, that's what I love about this Nike story is they're proactively making the changes they need to make. They're not just sitting back and saying, oh, there's high competition. They're really making some strong changes, and they're not afraid to say we were wrong. I love that too, even to their investors. They're not afraid to say we were wrong. Brand matters. I think that's key.
Yeah.
So we'll wrap there. Thank you. Thank you, Chris, for joining. This is so fun as always. I love talking about this with you.
Yes. Thanks, Stephanie.
And for everyone listening, thank you for joining. You can always get a hold of us at nonormal@bpdhealthcare.com. And until next time, don't be satisfied with the normal. Push the no normal, push the brand, push the service line marketing, and we'll talk to you soon.